And I just want to encourage you. The Bible fits together so well. It's all one big story. Amen? And the more you read it, the more you understand the big story. And the more you see how the entire thing fits together. Our Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation has seven messages to seven churches in Asia. And the first message is to the church in Ephesus. And it's so powerful to read that letter after you've read the book of Ephesians. Because the Lord Jesus has a message for the Ephesian church, and it's the book of Ephesians. You read the book of Ephesians, and then you read the letter to the Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2, and it's so powerful. And to the church in the city of Ephesus, our Lord Jesus says this. He says, I have this against you. You have left your first love. You have left your first love. Love of God. Love of Christ. You have left your first love. And maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling in your spiritual life and things aren't going the way you want. And you say, I feel like I have left my first love. And I want to encourage you, love for God, love for Christ comes from reading His Word. If you are here this morning and you're feeling like, man, my first love is weak, it is waning, it has grown cold. Our Lord in Matthew 24 says that in the end times, people's love will grow cold. You're here sitting this morning and you're saying, my love has grown cold. Oh, brother or sister, read the book of Romans again. We're almost done with the book of Romans. We're going to be in chapter 15 today. And if the Lord wills, we will finish chapter 15 today and go on to chapter 16 next Sunday. And then that'll be it for Romans. But can I please encourage you? Read the book of Romans over again. And then read it again. Romans 5, Romans 3, Romans 8. Every single chapter, just if you read it in humility, and if you read it carefully, the Holy Spirit can use the book of Romans to fill you with love for Christ. Read it with that purpose in mind. As we're about to finish the book of Romans, would you please open to Romans 15 and stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures. Romans chapter 15. If you're using your phone, you want the NASB, New American Standard Bible. Romans 15. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers. And for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles. I will sing to your name. Again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. But I've written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given to me from God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God, for I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Rickham, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation, but that is as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. For this reason I have often been prevented from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I've had for many years a longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing, and to be helped on my way there by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. But now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they were indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I have finished this, and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness and blessing of Christ. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and help you to understand his message to you from Romans chapter 15? Would you please pray for the other people in this room, that God would build them up and speak to their hearts and help them understand what he has for them from Romans 15? Now, would you please pray for me, that the Holy Spirit would help me to do my job today? Gracious Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the book of Romans. Help us to understand it truly. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As you know, a very important part of understanding the Bible is context. Context. And we start out right here in Romans 15:1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just pleased ourselves. Here we're very tempted to take this out of context and answer for ourselves what it means to be weak and what it means to be strong. But Paul in Romans 14 already explained what it means to be weak and strong. So if you don't understand that, I encourage you to look back at Romans 14, where he talks about your conscience and how some people understand our freedom in Christ. Those are the strong. And then others are still feel bound in their conscience to certain rules and regulations. That is those who are weak. And Paul says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Praise God that Christ accepted us. Amen. And what does it say? Number one in your notes, we should accept one another just as Christ accepted us. Paul is telling us how he wants us to live together in Christian community. The key word is edification. Edification. It means the act of building. The Greek word is oikodomeo. It's not in your notes. And it could be building a building, or it could be building people. And obviously that's what Paul is talking about. We should not be concerned with pleasing ourselves, but our attitudes and our words and our actions in all things should be concerned with what? Building each other up. Number two in your notes, we should not please ourselves, but instead build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. And of course, our role model is Christ Jesus. Amen? Christ Jesus did not please himself. And then in verse 4, Paul says, the scriptures were given to us for our instruction. Everything that was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement we get from them, we might have this wonderful thing that we're all looking for. Hope. Hope. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible was written for our instruction so that through the perseverance and the encouragement that you and I get from the Holy Scriptures, we might have what? Hope. Hope. And Paul prays a beautiful prayer in verse 5. And let's stop right now and pray that for ourselves. So gracious Heavenly Father, from Romans 15 verse 5, we pray this. May the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant Trinity Baptist Church to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord, Trinity Baptist Church may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Therefore, brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist, accept one another. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you to the glory of God. Look at verse 8. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision, that is, ethnic Jews, a servant to the circumcision, on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers. And Christ has also become a servant for the Gentiles, to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Before we go on, let me remind you of the terms here. There are two kinds of people in the world, and only two: Jews and Gentiles. If you are not a Jew here this morning, you are a Gentile. If you're European like me, you are a Gentile. If you're a Native American, you're a Gentile. If you're Asian, you're a Gentile. If you're African, you're a Gentile. If you're Hispanic, you're a Gentile. There are two types of people in the world, Jews and Gentiles. And Paul says that Christ has become a servant to the Jews. Why? To confirm the promises given to them. Christ Jesus confirms the promises given to Abraham. Amen? But Christ is also a servant to the Gentiles, which I'm assuming is most of us in this room. Now that you know that you are a Gentile, unless you're a Jew, look at verse 10 again. Again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles in Christ, Trinity Baptist Church, shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we abound in hope? It is when we realize that Christ came for us. Christ came for us. We can rejoice every day, Trinity Baptist Church, because we were once separate from God, apart from the promises, strangers to the covenants, but Christ has come and grafted us into that beautiful olive tree so that we can also be God's people. Praise his holy name. Studying the scriptures and realizing that truth will fill you with love for God. Number three in your notes, Christ is a servant to the Jews and the Gentiles. And then Paul finishes this section with another beautiful prayer in verse 13. And would you stop and join me as we pray this prayer for Trinity Baptist Church? And gracious Heavenly Father, now may the God of hope fill Trinity Baptist Church with all joy and peace in believing, so that the people of Trinity Baptist Church will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't this a great chapter? Verse 14, and concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. But I've written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offerings of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. The first thing we're reminded of Trinity Baptist is this: in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power of Christ living in our hearts, what does that mean? It means we are able to admonish one another. We are filled with goodness, we are filled with knowledge, and we are able to admonish one another. Do you realize that when you come into this room, the Holy Spirit wants to encourage others through you? The famous verse in Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And we use that verse often to encourage others. A brother or a sister is not attending church, and we say, you know, you should really be in church. Don't forget Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But we pull that out of context. What does it say? It says, spur one another on to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The reason you come to church is to help your brothers and sisters. When you don't come to church, you can't encourage the other people in this room. And Paul says, you are filled with all knowledge and able to admonish one another. Paul says, I've written you this very boldly to remind you of the grace given me in Christ to be a minister of the Gentiles. And again, I am so grateful for this ministry. Paul was called to be a minister to the Gentiles. And he says, from Jerusalem all the way, go ahead and put up that slide, Jessica, if you've got it. Okay, I got a map here for you. I hope you can see that. Can everybody see? You can see Italy, the boot, there off to the left. That's obviously where Rome is. Thank you, Tom. The red dots, this is kind of like a Google map when you Google yourself and the screen has a red dot for where you are. The red dot is Illyricum. I pronounce it differently every time I say it, but there it is. Thank you, Jessica. This is what Paul was talking about. Now, Jerusalem is way off this way. And what Paul is saying, he's saying, God gave me the ministry to the Gentiles so that I may offer the Gentiles up as my offering to God. And he says, I'm not going to boast except, look at verse 18, what Christ has accomplished through me. What a great reminder. Oh, brother or sister of Trinity Baptist Church, have you accomplished something for Christ? Can you look back and say, I led that person to Christ, or I helped this ministry, or I encouraged this person, or I taught this, or I did this, or I led this group. Oh, may we never take any credit for anything. Paul says, I am only going to boast in what Christ has accomplished through me. And what has Christ accomplished? If I had a bigger map that would go way this way incorporate the Holy Land, you could see how far away this red dot is. And Paul says, praise God that he, through me, has taken the gospel all the way to this city, Illyricum. Actually, it's not a city, it's a region. And it would be like me standing here saying, I want to praise God for what Christ has accomplished through me. Let's say I were a missionary here and I'm up here and I'm saying, you sent me out 20 years ago. I started from India and he's taken the gospel all the way to Florida. Paul planted churches everywhere, and they were Gentile churches. And what touches me so much is if you're a Gentile here this morning, chances are one of the churches Paul started grew, and the gospel grew, and went out from there, 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 and came to you. It is possible that you are sitting in this room today because of one of the churches Paul planted. Because most of us in this room are Gentiles. Praise His holy name for what Christ accomplished through Paul. And I hope you can read Romans and say, my relationship with God began here. And it gives you love for Christ. How did Paul approach his ministry? What was his strategy? Take a look at verse 20. Actually, let's start with 19. Let's start with 18. For I would not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have never heard shall understand. For this reason, I have often been prevented from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I've had for many years a longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you when I first enjoyed your company for a while. Wow. Do you understand what he's saying here? Paul's saying, I've wanted to come and visit you in Rome for a long time, but let me tell you why I haven't done it. Because I wanted to continue to take the gospel where Jesus Christ was not named. Incredible. Paul says, I didn't focus my whole life in one town. I didn't focus my whole life in Rome, or in Philippi, or in Thessalonica, or in Athens, or in Corinth. Paul says, I looked for places where the gospel of Jesus Christ had not been preached. I looked for towns and cities where the gospel had not been shared, and I shared it with them. Trinity Baptist Church, this is why we do world missions. This is why. Yes, there are people on Valencia that don't know the gospel, and there are people on San Jacinto and Santa Rosa and the Desert Cove Rehab Center and Hoover School. There are people on all these streets that need to hear the gospel. But do you realize that 2,000 years later, there are still whole towns and whole villages and whole people groups that have never heard of Jesus? And that's why we do world missions. That's why we support missionaries. We often talk about the Bible. We often talk about the gospel. And we compare it to having the cure for cancer. And if God gave you the cure for cancer, and he said, here, you have the cure for cancer, and I want you to spread the news about this cure all over the world, what would you do? What would you do? Would you spend your entire life making sure that every single house in India heard of that? Or would you appoint someone for India? And would you go to Africa? And would you tell a small group of people that cure and say, your job is to take it to every country in Africa? And then would you go to Australia and appoint a small group of people and say, here's the cure now, this is what you need to do, is take it to every village and town in Australia? And then would you go to South America and find a small group of people and teach them the cure and say, now you need to go to every tribe and village in South America and tell them what the cure is? And then would you go to Europe and do the same thing? That's why Paul went from town to town to town to town. And that's why we need to do the same thing. My dear friend Tim is in the back. Tim, lift your hand up, would you please? My dear friend Tim is in the back. Tim and I have been going up and down these streets, and we're going to continue to do so. Tim and I meet multiple times a week. Actually, we will be. We just started that. I don't want to mislead you to think we've been doing this all summer. But Tim and I went out a couple days ago, and we're going to do it at least two or three times this week. We meet in my office, and we pray, and then we go out and we take the gospel to these people. Most of you know my cell phone number. I'm sure Tim will give you his. If you want to join us, please join us. And as long as Trinity Baptist Church has this building, we must take the gospel to those people. Amen? But we also must take the gospel to the places on the other side of the world. Because there are still whole groups of people that have never heard of Jesus. And that's why we do missions. Number 5 in your notes. Go back to 4, Jessica. I skipped that one. How terrible. 3, Christ is a servant to the Jews and Gentiles. 4, Christ is the hope of all nations. Christ is the hope of all nations. And then 5, we must dedicate ourselves to taking the good news of Jesus Christ to places where it has never been preached. And Paul says, this is why I didn't come to Rome. Because that village has never heard of Jesus at all. And that village has never heard of Jesus at all. And that village has never heard of Jesus at all. I want to come to Rome, but I've got to get the gospel planted in these places where they have never heard the name of Jesus. But now, there's nowhere else to go. So I'll come to you. But first, I've got a job to do in Jerusalem. Take a look at verse 25. But now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I finish this, and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness and blessing of Christ. Incredible. Paul says, I'm going to come to you, Rome, to preach the gospel to you. But first, something really great is happening. You see, the gospel was in Jerusalem first, right? And then, through the Apostle Paul and others, it went to the Gentiles. But years later, something happened. The Jewish Christians were experiencing financial crisis. The church in Jerusalem is what we call the mother church. It is the church from which all other churches are planted, including Trinity Baptist. But back in Paul's day, he says, something great is happening. He says, there is poverty in the Jewish church. Our Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ do not have enough food and clothing and shelter. So something great is happening. The Gentile church in Macedonia and the Gentile church in Achaia has heard about that, and they're taking up an offering. They're taking up an offering. And I personally, Paul, am going to take that offering to the Jerusalem church. I've got to do that, and then I'll come to you. Look at verse 27. Yes, they, the Gentile church, were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Keep a bookmark in Romans 15 and come with me to Romans 11 really quick. Romans 11, 17. Romans 11, 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, that's the Gentiles, were grafted in among them and become partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. He's talking to us. But if you are arrogant, remember, it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say, branches were broken off. Jewish unbelievers were broken off so that the Gentile believers might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold, then, the kindness and severity of God to those who fell severity, but to you God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, you Gentiles, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? We talked about this a while back when I had... Actually, I didn't bring anything, but we talked about the process of grafting and how you can take a branch from one tree and graft it into a branch of another tree, and the root system of that tree will give that branch life. And we talked about the fact that Jews are the original branches. But because of their unbelief, they were broken off. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Gentiles were grafted in. And the churches in Macedonia and Achaia understand this. The churches in Macedonia and Achaia understand that the gospel came to them from the Jewish people. Jesus is a Jew. And the apostles were Jews. And the gospel came to them through the Jewish people. And Macedonia and Achaia understood that, and they said, the mother church is poor, and we are indebted to them, and we need to help them. And that is how the church is supposed to work. Number 6 in your notes. Since we, Trinity Baptist Church, now share God's spiritual blessings with the Jewish believers in Jesus, we should share our material blessings with them. You all know about the Middle East and what chaos it is over there. And how there's so much fighting, and it seems inevitable that there will be war. How wonderful would it be in the Middle East today if Jewish believers were experiencing financial crises, and the Arab believers and the Palestinian believers that were in that region took up an offering and helped their Jewish brothers and sisters? What a testimony that would be. Isn't that the way the church is supposed to work? When we see our brothers and sisters in financial need, how great it is to take up an offering and help them. A benevolent offering. And if there's a church in Indio or in the Coachella Valley that has a financial need, the other churches should take up an offering and help them. That's the way Christianity is supposed to work. That's the way it was done in the book of Acts. That's the way it was done in the New Testament. Churches took up offerings to help themselves, but churches also took up offerings to help other churches. Look at verse 30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem might prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Paul simply says, pray that this offering will be great and that I can get to Jerusalem and give it to them, that they will receive it. When I'm done there, I'll come see you. Do you see how personal Paul's letters are? When you really study them, they come to life and they feed us as a church. Amen? Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for Romans 15. And as we move on to Romans 16, would you bring it alive to us too, that we may grow as a church. And Heavenly Father, we pray that our love for you and our love for your Son and our love for Christ would grow and grow and grow. In his name we pray. Amen.